Okay, so the last few weeks we've been talking about the topic, the subject of bribery. And we've come out with very important principles when you apply such a topic. And generally it only applies to dini momonos issues based in geiros, and it does not apply when we're discussing isva heter, kashrus. The big chiddush that we saw for the last 2 weeks is that the issue does apply when we're talking about decisions for the kahal, the congregation. Therefore, anyone working in an official position, like in the local authorities, government positions, there would be a problem or issue of taking a bribe. Now, we left off with a case last week, which came to Beis Din, and we're going to start the case, repeat the case, and we'll discuss, is this under the category of bribery or not? Reuven was selling his apartment to Shimon. Reuven wanted to receive $230,000 for the apartment. Shimon said, that's not the value of the property, maximum is $200,000. And they came to agreement that they're going to hire a surveyor. What's that in American?
Appraiser.
And whatever the appraiser says will be the price. If it's 200, it's 200. If it's 230, it'll be 230. Fine. So they agreed on who the appraiser would be. Call him Levy. Before Levy came along and appraised the property, Reuven got there to Levy first and said to him, I want to make a deal with you. If you give the higher rate, $230,000 as the value, even though it may not be the value, if you give that value, then I will gain an extra $30,000. And I'm prepared to give you $10,000 of that to you. So Levy felt it was a very good deal to give up, and he appraised the property at $230,000, even although it was only worth $200,000. So Levy now came to claim his wages. Reuven gave him $1,000. Levy said, no, you're supposed to give me $10,000. I did my part of the job, you have to do your part of the job.
Money is in a garner.
So he said, initially Reuven said, look, we'll see. I haven't got all the money at the moment. When I get the money, I'll give it over to you. So kept pushing him off. Till we came to a situation where Levy had to take Reuven to Beis Din. And what's the machlokas here? Reuven is saying, look, you did something which was not allowed to do. It wasn't worth 230. I promise you, if you give me 230, I'll give you 10. I was joking. Your work is not worth $10,000. A maximum is worth $500. Give me $500 back. Levy said, I did the job you told me to do, and that's the worth $10,000. Give me the other $9,000. Beis Din initially turned to Reuven and said, but you're Ganav. You stole $30,000 from Shimon. So Reuven said, don't worry. Before Yom Kippur came, I already returned the $30,000 to Shimon because I realized that it wasn't the Seder and I felt really bad about it. But now, I've given back the $30,000 because the real price was only $200,000. I want to get $500 back, which I gave already $1,000. He doesn't deserve $1,000. Maximum deserves $500 if anything. The appraiser said, no, I did the job. Whether you gave back the money, you didn't give back the money, is lo mashanah there. I did the job, and you owe me another $9,000. So the first thing we have to decide, if it is shochad, if it is called bribery, is What's the halacha when you give somebody a bribe? Are you entitled to get the money back when you have change of heart? So on that we have a beferish shulchan aruch. Number one. Ma'od. The shulchan aruch and siman tes. Ma'od sorach had zayin lizoheh. Shalomli kach shulchan. Very careful that the judge should not take a bribe. I feel a zakeh is a zakeh. Even if he's going to make the right decision. Vimlocha, and if he did take the bribe, sorach lahat zero, he has to give the money back. Kershi tavenu hanosin, when there's a claim from the one who gave the bribe that I've changed my mind. You have to give the bribe back. So if it's a case of bribery, the halacha is very clear. Not only don't you have to give, you can claim the bribe back and say, I've had a change of heart.
Why is it only tavenu hanosin?
Kershi tavenu hanosin.
What if he's not tavenu? You don't have to deal with that.
No.
Why?
So you have to think of a reason why. But we'll see, maybe later on, a reason why.
It's only why doesn't he have to
but
it's back
clear, if I ask for the money back, you get the money back. Now let me ask you. No, it says clearly, only if you ask for the money back, you get the bribe back.
It doesn't say only, it just says return it if it's asked.
Yes.
But if it's not asked for,
no chiv to return it back, being asked for.
But you could return it.
You could. Yes. Now, for those who have been with us for the last few weeks talking about the subject of bribery, does this case at all fit in with the category of bribery or not?
No.
Not a public official.
No.
I want to suggest yes.
Yes. No. You argue? Okay.
I agree with him that it doesn't seem like a public case, but appraisal values affect everyone else's house in the area. So the whole community is affected by a misappraised house. So therefore, in that sense, it is for the public.
It's very far removed.
Does the fact that the appraiser is licensed and has to qualify, he can't, not anybody can be an appraiser.
No, not everybody can be an appraiser.
He's being
so
paid
he's licensed. He has some sort of...
He has a license, yes.
He has a license, so does that make him
a public
agent,
official?
An agent of the public.
Does it make him a public
he
official?
The public
no.
Because he's
no.
Licensed?
No.
You're saying no?
Nothing.
I agree with you, but why?
I have the same thing in my profession.
Yes.
I'm my profession. But I don't work for the government, I work against the government.
Yes. But we've learned in the previous weeks that bribery, the problem of bribery, the issue of bribery, is only really ever said in the Torah, written by Dayanim and Beis Din. Then there's a Chiddush, which you see from a Gemara, and it's extended by the Rishonim, that whenever you're in a public position, representing the public, then also you come under the category like a basin that issues of bribery apply. But doesn't apply in kashrus, for example, if somebody gives a bribe in kashrus, it would not be an issue of bribery. It would be other issue.
They're evaluating the value of
the contract. Like, is he a dayan or is he not a dayan?
No, if he was a dayan, he wouldn't even be able to take the base pay that they're both paying.
So, it's clear from how we've defined bribery, it doesn't come under the category of rights. So what does it come onto? It's beseder, it's mutter, what
it's
is
gezel.
It?
Gezel.
It's gezel.
Gezel.
So what is has the... What type of thing is the surveyor doing, the appraiser doing? What is he giving? If it's not... What is his position? What is he like? Can you think of what category he's like? Okay, so Gazan, but what is he doing with the money? What is he, when he gives his opinion, what is he doing?
He's like an aid checker.
He's like an aid checker. He's like a witness.
Well, he's not an aid checker.
He's testifying.
He's not a
basin. Not a basin, but he's like a test. He's like he's giving testimony to the value of the property. That's what it is. Just a false testimony. Now, what's the halacha? If I pay an aid to give aiders, which is sheker, does he get his money or does he not get his money? if we say that appraiser is not bribed, but it's like giving a witness, is giving testimony, which is a testimony, and he's giving it as a lie because he's been paid to lie, what is the halacha if I pay a witness to lie in Beis Din? Does he get his money or does he not get his money?
Does who get the money?
The witness.
I would think he gets his money.
Hmm?
I would think he gets his money.
So, there's a Gemara in Kedushin and the Ritva over there like this. Number two. Hanotel star ledon. Dinei betele. I give a judge money to give to judgment, it's no good to judgment. That we see. Lehaid. If I give money to a witness to give Adas, Adas are botola. His whole Adas, even if it's not a lie, is also bottle. Doesn't have no validity to his witness, his testimony. Says the Ritva over there. Mukomokum. If he takes money for it, he's still entitled for the money. In theory. In theory, you would say that, says the Ritva. But he's still in. Okay. His testimony is not valid, but he can keep the money. So says the Ritva, Haleste. It's not true. He cannot keep his money. Why? Because since his testimony didn't help, everyone is a lot faster. So why should you get paid? Your whole reason why you get paid is to help me. You don't help me because your whole testimony is invalid. So therefore you don't get paid for the job, because it's as if you haven't done the job.
Then it means I wasn't being paid or hired. I was being paid to do something else.
I was being paid to give testimony,
false testimony,
which would help me.
No.
At the end of the day.
It's like the drugs with the guy that's not sick.
So that's the Kiddush of the Ritva, that when you give money to a witness, even if you don't speak it out, there's an unwritten contract that says, I only have to give you though if it actually helps me at the end. And since it doesn't help me at the end because it's all null and void, therefore I don't have to pay.
It's only null and void if it's discovered.
Ah. So the implication over here is that since it didn't work, the trick didn't work, so therefore I don't have to pay. But if the trick would work, it will be never discovered, and the testimony will be accepted by Beis Din, and based on that testimony they will get the result of the person who paid him, then he will be entitled to his wage, because at the end of the day the testimony helped him.
The trick did work.
The trick did work. Yeah. So if you look like that in our case, then, did it work or did it not work?
It worked.
It worked. Why did he give back the money? Because he wants to give back the money. If he didn't want to give back the money, he would still have the money. So just because he wants to give back the money, doesn't mean that the person who you hired to do the trick is not entitled to his wages.
Even though he was paid to do something that's awesome.
Ah, so the Kiddush was saying over here, is that even when you do something awesome to pay for it, you still get money. That's implicit from the Ritva.
But I still don't understand why you're calling him an A. A, it's not in Beis Din, and B, he's not testifying to facts, he's giving his opinion. Opinion is not Ada.
He's giving his opinion, which everyone is going to rely on.
It's not Ada. Opinion is not Ada. But there's no such thing as an expert witness in Ada. Ada is only on facts.
He's making a fact.
He's not stating a fact. He's stating an opinion.
Opinion which we're going to listen to and follow based on your testimony.
But if you look at an appraiser, you'll see he doesn't say it's worth $230,000. He'll say it's a range here, and my opinion is the best estimate is $230,000. But it's not a fact. It's not Shaykh Adas.
Why is it Shaykh Adas?
Because Adas means I'm testifying X is true or X happened.
In my opinion, or based on my expertise, and you're saying my expertise is good enough to decide the decision over here, therefore your expertise is going to make a decision.
No, because I'll tell you,
I made you into a witness.
Let me ask you a question. If let's say this guy comes in the basin, he's an appraiser, he says it's worth $230,000. Another appraiser comes in and says, no, it's $200,000. Is that Ede Akasha?
I tell you what.
Why not?
No, but I tell you like this. If Beis Din say, we're going to bring an appraiser in,
yeah,
and the Beis Din bring an appraiser in,
yeah,
then the Beis Din will decide only on what the appraiser says.
Yes, but he...
Even if you bring somebody else who says different.
He won't be an A-checker, though, because he said different. If I testify to a fact, then he'll be an A-checker. Here, he's not an A-checker.
He is.
He'll be an A-checker. He says it's worth a different amount than the guy that Basin hired.
If it's not true.
No, there's no such... That's the thing. There's no such a thing as not true. It's not shaykh, not
everyone
like
knows that this is worth 200 presents.
No, not everyone knows. You can have a machlokas between appraisers.
I agree, in some products don't have prices, but a property in sure a certain area definitely has a range. And if you've gone out of that range, you're definitely giving.
He could be within the range.
So he's not in the range. Yeah?
How do you know?
That is the case. He's not in the range. He's not worth 230. Wasn't even close. Maximum was 200. The range was lower. Let's say 170 to 200.
Valuing properties is just not that exact defined.
It doesn't have to be exact to be witness. It has to be a range. But if you're totally out of the range, then it's called either check.
10% on it or 15% is just not enough to call an A check. I mean, I've dealt.
Let's say the value is 170 to 230.
No, but apparently in this case, he was giving an estimate that was way off.
You could have
value.
Machlokas between who says what the real value is.
No,
you could have a machlokas of double. You could have one appraisal.
He says yes. I'm asking him the value is maybe 170. If you want to push it to.
But how is he an aid? It's not based on.
Doesn't have to be based on to be an aid. You see many cases in Gemara that you consider the witness even is not based on. Based on is just halachas of when the witness maybe has to be filed, final, can he retract on his witnesses, but he's still a witness. Now, so we see from here, for some reason, it is implicit from the Ritva that even though you've done an Issa, but if it works, you get this. Now, why is this different from bribery? I pay a dime a bribe. He has to give it back if I claim from it. When it comes to witnesses and they give aid to Sheker, the implication is I can't get it back, even if I have Chorotza. He's done the job, he gets paid. What's the difference? Both of them are doing Isurin. So you can't say one's an Issa and one's not an Issa. Both are very awesome.
The judge is doing an Issa by taking the money. The aid's not doing an Issa by taking the money.
He's doing an Issa by giving his testimony.
But the judge, the actual taking of the money is an Issa.
And therefore?
So he has to undo the Issa.
So why doesn't he undo the Issa by giving back the money?
Who?
So you're saying the judge has to undo the Issa.
Has to do the Issa of Mosi Kachshoka.
Very close to the Issa. The chilek is not between the Issurim, because both are awesome. But all four people are doing it, sir. One giving the bribe, one accepting the bribe. One giving the money to give false testimony, and one accepting the money to give false testimony. So in one case, you say, I have to motivate the dying. In this case, you have to motivate the person giving. Why is the motivation different in one case rather than in the other case?
Well, actually, your assertion is not true.
Everyone's doing a sermon. One giving and one taking. One you motivate the one giving, and one you motivate the one receiving. So this question was asked by the Nesivus. He gives the difference like this, and you answer also your question why you only get it back when you claim. Says number three, the Nesivus over there, and Simon Test like this. You hire a witness to give false testimony. Do you have to give it back like you have to give it back when you give a bribe? The nearest says the Nesivus, the Ein Chayv Lachzer. If you pay a witness to make false testimony, he does not have to give it back. The Dafka Beribus V'Shochatz. Only by two Isurim, Ribus. and bribes. To Omar Rahmona, by both of those, the Torah writes a loshon lo sika, don't take. My to Omar Rahmona lo sabid, the Ovid lo mahani, and we got a principle in the Torah. The Torah says, don't do, and you go ahead and do it, then lo, the Ovid lo mahani, it doesn't work what you've done.
Ribbis, you have to give back even if natural
there. That even if the Torah says don't do something and you try to do it, we've got a principle in the Torah, that if you try to do against what the Torah says, it doesn't work. So the Torah says over here, don't take even money, which is a bribe, therefore it doesn't work and you have to give it back. But in the Issa, of giving false testimony, locals in Rachmana love Allah the Kicha. The Issa is not to take money. The Issa by the the witness is Rachlo Lehei Sheker, that he's not allowed to give testimony which is a lie. But it doesn't say in the Torah that he's not allowed to take money to give testimony which is a lie. So therefore, since the Torah doesn't say there's an Issa for him to take money to give a lie, only it says you can't give false testimony, therefore we don't have this principle, Yehovid lo mahani, that what you try to do, it doesn't work, therefore it works. You gave money, he receives the money. Whereas in the concept of scribe, it says you can't even receive, therefore you try to receive, it doesn't work, you have to give it back. So both ways to him, but it's a different type of Issa. By bribery, is you're not even allowed to take the money. Whereas the Aedus, the Issa is to give testimony, not to receive money. So the Sivis carries on over here, and he says, why only you have to give it back? He asks for it, is because we assume all the time you haven't asked for it, then he's been mochel it. He's saying, look, you can have it as a present.
In our case, if the value really was 230.
Yes.
And the guy said, yeah, I'll take your money, and then he accurately appraised the 230, so therefore he didn't really accomplish anything for him, would he then be chayav to give the money back?
Why? He asked me to do what I said. If you price 230, then I'll give you money, 10,000.
So it doesn't have to be
So we're saying, and a witness does not need to give the money back. So we see from here that the reasoning behind the Ritva, which the Nesiva is explaining, is that a false testimony is Osir to do, but receiving money for that false testimony is no Osir to receive money, specifically in the Torah, for that, and therefore there's no obligation to give that money back, as long as you've done your job,
so
you did your job.
Entitled to the other 9,000?
So, based on this...
He doesn't have to give back.
He doesn't have to give back.
Is he entitled to the other
9,000? So, for sure on the 1,000 which he received, he doesn't have to give back.
Yeah.
Now the question is, okay, but we're discussing the next stage. He hasn't yet got the 9,000, and he's claiming, I did the job, I'm entitled to the 9,000 which you promised. Do you have to give it over or you don't have to give it to him? Here we see that once you've taken it, you don't have to give it back. But now that I've had Skarotza, and I don't want to give you now the other 9,000, am I still obligated to do it or not? Now normally, if it would be a kosher job, he's done the job, you have to get paid, you got that Skarotza after he's done the job. But here, we're talking about a job which is awesome. So you've done an issa. Do I have to pay you or not? There is a riot in the Gemara. Anyone who's learned Daf Yomi, or Baba, or Avner Sekhtos, or Sanhedrin over there. So there's a proof in the Gemara to this Shiloh. I count to five, and then we'll go further. Okay, so Sanhedrin, Subus, another reason. Okay. Is that Issa for the person to? Yes. Is it Issa Lifnei Iver? give the shekel.
If you give a person money to testify,
it is, you're causing somebody to be to be.
No specific. So in other words, to pay a judge to be done la'amito is awesome.
Yes.
You know, la'amito.
Yes.
But to pay a witness to testify correctly is totally mutter.
It's just it doesn't work.
No,
the witness is not allowed to take money. He's not allowed to take
it. The witness is
bottle.
No, he's saying the correct testimony.
Even if it's correct, it's still bottle.
Why?
That's what the Gemara says. That Eidus of Batela, even if it's not Sheker, even if it's not Allah, because of Negias. Eidus Apostle Eid, if he's Negair, a witness is Negair, who's got an interest in the case. To one of the parties, he gives testimony. Is it possible? Yes, it's but very soul in the Torah.
So
yes?
Are you permitted?
So by giving money, you're making him Nogeh, so makes him an apostle witness, so that his whole testimony is useless. It's like an Eved or a Goy giving testimony.
So
which is useless.
From a practical point of view, can you pay an aid to his expenses to come to court?
There's a whole question how to do it. And the answer is, for one side, no. It has to be both parties have to pay.
But he knows where he's going to testify. I mean,
both parties have to pay for it.
But both parties don't.
So you can't. One side can't.
Wait a minute. An expert witness cannot be paid in damages?
Only by both parties.
So
I don't understand.
No,
I was not with the party to this case. And you faced him in America, where I was hired by the litigant to present. I wasn't testifying that he was right or anything, but I was presenting a financial statement.
But you weren't giving, were you giving it as an aid or just giving it as an opinion? There's a difference between a witness and an opinion.
I was just giving him a financial report explaining to them their questions.
Okay. So that's, you're not a witness then.
So can you have expert witnesses in this?
Expert witnesses? You can, it's just we know that you've been, look, you have to tell us you've been paid, and we'll therefore take your opinion with a handful of salt.
Because you've been paid?
Yes.
So as long as everybody knows that you've been paid.
Well, as a witness, you can't be.
Testifying to
if you say, he owes money, and you got paid by him, then there's no good.
Oh, but you can testify as to.
Yes. Again, this is my opinion.
As a doctor or an engineer?
Yeah, or accountant or like that, and he's paying me, by the way. Right. Usually based on, we'll take it with a big hand of salt and bring their own accountant in there. Now, so the Imre Bina says, I've got a proof. Got a proof to this side. Do you have to pay him? He's done the Issa, he's done the job, but it's an Issa job, do you have to pay him? So says the Imre Bina like this. Imre Bina says, after him, I'm dying, no, not in the kesef. Even if you haven't yet paid the money, you have to give it to him. Kamo, where do I see such a thing in Shas? But Aslan, Zona, Shemashu, Shein Lo, Yachayv, Miso, Chayv, Nishalim, Mashu, Tiyak, Asha, Osa, Avera. We see in the Gemara over there that I hired somebody to prosecute to be a Zona. Yeah. And she does the job. I have to pay her. If it wouldn't be that she happens to be a case where you're chayv misa in any case. From lay the rabbi, and therefore you don't have to pay. She's chayv misa, you're chayv misa, no money. But if it would be for the from lay the rabbi that you're chayv misa, you would have to pay her. Are you doing it soon there? You're doing it soon. Have you yet paid her? And you haven't paid her. You want to pay her, don't want to pay her. But you still have to pay her. If it won't be for the concept of Komnei Rabbanei. So we see, says the Ravina, that even when you ask somebody to do an Issa, and you ask him to pay, I tell him, pay him to do this Issa, and he's done the Issa, and he hasn't yet been paid, you almost still look for him to pay, as we see by Aslan Zona. Has anybody got reasoning to say that is not an absolute proof from there?
What does it say in the Gemara that it's talking about a
mother?
What?
A one's mother. You pay your mother to be an asli, to be a zona. Is that an absolute proof to our case or not? Is it very similar, or can you say there's slight distinctions over there?
Are you counting to five again?
is one considered as speaking out considered as not an action?
Speaking, yeah.
Yeah, speaking though is not considered at the same level as an action.
Correct. That you're getting to the chiddush.
So in the case of an aid, it's for speaking. You're just paying it.
But why should that make a difference?
That would make it worse.
So we see there's a difference. You're saying it makes it worse than the difference, and you're saying it makes it better. Okay. One is I'm asking something to speak, and the other one is I'm asking something to do an action. Not going to say first. Getting very good. Very close. So. Yes, because it gives me the ability to get the results which I want. Yeah? But everyone's very close. So the Chiddush HaArim says it's not a proof. In Achneretim lo nosen lehem einu mukhuv lehemtal. If you haven't yet paid the witness, you don't have to pay. Kiven David Sobashu Yishmalo. Because I thought you won't listen to me. I told you to do an Isra, and I thought you would listen to me. Why? Because Divrei HaRav, Divrei HaTalmud, Divrei Mishlamim. If the Rav tells you to do something, and the Talmud tells you to do something, who are you going to listen to? The Rav. If I tell you to do an Isra, and Hashem says, don't do the Isra, and I say, do this Isra, I'm going to pay you, who do I expect you to listen to, me or Hashem?
Well, you didn't listen to
Hashem. Who did I send you to listen to?
Obviously, you requested it, and you would send me to listen to you.
So where did Lifnei Iver come from? Isn't that Lifnei Iver that you're liable for?
Lifnei Iver, maybe. I didn't expect you to do it. Because Divrei HaRav, Divrei HaTalmud, Divrei Mishlamim. If I ask you to do one thing and Hashem says do the opposite, I myself don't expect you to do that.
But he did it.
So he did it. But I didn't ever expect you to do it. So therefore, when I said, if you would testify for 230,000, I will give you $10,000. Did I really think you're going to do the 230,000 or not do the 230,000?
Of course you did.
Did I think he would do it or he didn't? No.
It seems like I should give an honorary agreement if we saw what happened next.
And why by the zoners did I think you were going to do it?
But the zoners did it. Bala!
You saw her do it.
You did it with her.
Well, we're talking about Lifnei Maisa or after Maisa?
After the Maisa.
Well, but the agreement is after Maisa. So when I agreed to pay you, I didn't think you were going to do it.
Fine. But now you've done it, Issa.
Now he did the Eidus. Now he did the Eidus. He did it.
Yes, but there's difference.
Why?
V'habi kamol tzul dina v'havenu deino el eschara. Of course, once you've done it, and I benefit from your job, I only have to pay what the value of that job is.
The same thing by the zona.
And by zona also, I only pay for the value of what they
want. You pay what you agree to?
I agree is what the value is. We're not talking about over and extreme.
Does he have to pay the price he agreed or the street price?
The street price.
By the zona?
Yes.
Oh really, he doesn't have to pay what he agreed to?
It's just the case he's talking about where there is the street price. So what the Chiddush HaArim says,
it
says, when I told you to do $230,000, I'll give you $10,000, I said, I never thought you were going to do it. That's why I said $10,000, because I didn't have half a minute you were going to do it. I didn't mean $10,000, because I never thought you were even going to do the job.
Why did you even ask me to begin with?
So therefore, now that you've done the job, I don't have to fulfill $10,000, I'll give you the going rate. The going rate's not $10,000.
Going rate for what? For an appraiser?
No, the going rate for a
shyster. The going rate should be $30,000. He gave you
$30,000. Going rate? Going rate, not of the money received. Going rate for the job you do.
Hire a lawyer.
Going rate for $30,000 benefit.
Right.
You only pay on the open market for a $30,000.
How much will you pay in
the future?
Yeah.
Oh, for an appraiser. For an appraiser or for a liar?
For a liar. What contingency would you pay an attorney?
Tom the appraiser.
So, the end of the day, we have a machlokas between him, Ravina, and the Kedusha Arim, where he's entitled to his money if he hasn't yet got it. And therefore, most of us have a right, and he's not entitled to 9,000.
But wait a second.
He accomplished his job on that case. What?
He accomplished his job.
He accomplished his job, but he's entitled to the exaggerated rate of $10,000. Because I never thought you would do it.
But that's ridiculous. Of course he thought he would do it. That's what he actually said.
I knew you would say this. And therefore, now we're going to carry on and move on to a new topic. From stopping bribery, and because we finished the basically cutting of bribery, and we're going on to this topic of I ask you to do a job, I give you exaggerated rates, and when do I have to now fulfill my commitments? And also to answer your question,
okay.
After 3 weeks you can come back to me if you still got the question.
Okay.
So that's the psychologue, in this case the basin. Abadi is not entitled to the other 9,000 because we got a very stark attainer from the Kedusha Harim, and we're going to understand it better in the next few weeks why it's true. That if I promise an exaggerated rate, well, I don't have to give it, but that's the concept over here, with over here, we're talking about, and therefore you don't entitle to the other 9,000.
I have just one question. How did Basin determine the rate was exaggerated? Did they like take a survey? How
they
much
hire an appraiser?
Yes, yes.
No. Not an appraiser. To appraise how much people charge to steal.
Does the fact that he paid him $1,000 instead of paying him, say, $500 or whatever the regular fee was, the fact that he paid him more upfront, like he paid.
He paid him after the job.
No, that's what I mean, but between now, between what actually happened and the Basin, he paid him more than what an appraiser gets paid.
Yes.
So does that factor into it at all?
It factors in that the thousands he can keep, because there you can't say I was joking. He actually gave the thousands.
He paid it.
Yes, absolutely. So now, let's move on to the new shayla.
No, when we say that an aid that has, you know, a soul, his aedos is the tailor. We don't say the same thing, Gabe, the ton, you know, the son. Like, there's no such thing as being possible to bring a case.
No, there's no such thing as possible to bring a case.
Because you can be the biggest lawyer and cheater. So just the fact that somebody had a case of basis and said, look, I'm a lawyer and a cheater and I took bribes and whatever,
yes,
but I want you to get money from this guy who paid me to lie, cheat, and take bribes.
Correct.
So, I mean, the question, obviously, I think it must be... Hey,
but a false claim which causes somebody damage, you may be hired to compensate the other side for the damage that you cause under the concept of gami. For example, if you're in the middle of a building and I make a claim which now halts the building process for a period of the time of the basin, and the case took 3 months, and I had to still pay my kablan in that time, and it's decided afterwards that the whole case was made up and a pack of lies, and you did it with sheer and negligence, then the basin could come back with another claim to the basin. Now that you discover the whole thing's a lies, he's called me 3 months worth of paying for a kablan for nothing. So then you got a claim of damages afterwards.
But how could a guy stand up the basin and tell basin, look, I lied and cheated, but I wanted to pay you does that happen often? Did he have a
towing? you're asking me a question which is flabbergasting, because I'm so used to it. In Basin, people, in life, when it comes to money, people believe that money is due them, then they're going to do everything in the world in order to get that money.
I thought that's where Milberstein got these questions.
He got even more questions. Okay. Now. So, let's start with the case sites. I have a chasna. Reuven has a chasna to arrange. He needs a hall. He goes to a hall which he likes 4 months before. A chasna. And he likes the hall and he says, I would like to reserve this hall for the chasna. He asks him what the dates and they write down the date of the chasna. Do you want money up front? He says, the hall, that we don't need the money up front, you only have to come to us 1.5 months beforehand and give us the money up front if it's difficult now. Sign over here, but money up front you don't need to get. So, 1.5 months before the chasna, he comes back to pay, and they said, was that your details, as far as I can remember? So they look up, and they said, yes, we got you down for Tetz Zayin Tavis. Tetz Zayin Tavis, that's not my chasna. Chasna I reserved was for Kaftalit. Says, Papi, Chavdalit, we've already got a reservation for Chasna and Chavdalit. So it turned out that there was a mistake here in the reservation. Instead of being Tezayin, it was Chavdalit registered as Tezayin, and now a month and a half beforehand, it's not available at all. Now they go searching desperately for a replacement hall. 2 weeks pass. No replacement hall. They're really desperate. So they hear of somebody who's an agent to find person halls. So he goes to the agent and says, can you find me a hall? A month before the chasna. So he says, a month before the chasna, I can try, but you know what? It's going to cost you 5,000 shekels. Okay? That's what's going to cost to get a hall. I'm asking to get paid 5,000 shekels. So, he did the job, he found the hall, and they had the chasna in the hall. The tavuch, the agent, came up to the chasna and said, "Nu, where's my 5,000 shekels?" He said, "What's the going rate for your job of finding the hall?" "Normally I charge 3,000. But here, 5,000. He said, "No, here's 3,000, not 5,000. Your job is 3,000. Why? Because if I'm in a desperate position, do I have to pay 5,000? 3,000 is the going rate for your job. Here's 3,000.
What if he has more work to do?
Now we have a dinner.
More people to buy.
The agent. He says, I'm entitled for another 2,000. 5,000 altogether. That was the deal. And the person who hired him says, the rate for such a job is 3,000. Why should I pay more?
Because you agreed.
This shit comes off.
And we also said that time was a factor in the rate.
Yes.
So
he didn't speak it out. He said 4 weeks ago.
He could have done the same exact work though. I mean, when you have a rush job, you know the guys over barrels. They charge more. We all do it.
So the start of this sugi is the Gemara New Fox, number 6. Vas Chamud Rakpapa, the daughter-in-law of Rakpapa, Notna Lefi Yovan She'eno Hoganlo. Her husband died without children, that the halacha is, you do Yibin. The person who was Mechoyev to Yibin to her was somebody who was not fitting for her status. Somebody who lives on the streets. Not for her. Omalay, so they didn't want to do Yibin, they wanted to do Chalitza. They don't want to marry this guy. So Omalay Chalitza, Amanash Etnachon Matanzus. He said, I want to do Yibin. So he said, okay, do Chalitza and we'll give you 200 zuz for it if you do Chalitza. Bosa to Chalitza, so after you did Chalitza, I'm late to a habile. No, give me my money. I'm late, masati ani boch. Of delay. I was joking. I wasn't serious. To Arjun.
Who said what to whom?
The Bavnor said to the Einar Hogan, the person who was supposed to do Chalitza, do Chalitza, I'll give you 200 zuz. After he did Chalitza, he's giving me my money, and he says, I was joking.
Well, who, Amar Allah, who's talking to him there?
Omalay. Masati.
No, Amar Allah Zil Havle.
Omar Allah.
Who's talking to
the girl, to the woman.
He says to her. Who's he?
The Einar Hogan. Hagen.
Well, the Einar Hogan, Zil Havle, give it to him, yeah. Who's him?
Zil Havle, go and give the money to Einar Hogan.
Somebody's saying to the woman, give it to the Einar Hogan. Who's that somebody?
The representative, or the basin. Or
not Rav Papa.
Not Rav Papa.
And not his father-in-law.
Omalei, Meshach Tani Bach, Obviously. I was joking. Mila Tanya, where do you see such a concept that's true, that you can say I was joking? Hari Shahoya Borak Mebeser Surim. We learned that somebody's running away from a prison. And he's now got a river to cross. And he says to the boat guy, here, take a dinner, which is way above your wages. Get me across this river quick, because I'm in danger. Once you get to the other side, you don't have to pay a dinner. You can pay his going wage. Alma, Omalei shat in the box. So we see, you can say you're joking. So here also, I was joking when you give 200 zuz. Is anyone get paid to do chalitza? No. So therefore the whole wage is a joke. I don't have to pay you.
Isn't there a river or not? By the river you can pay no or not, no? I'm paying you much more than the going rate.
Not everyone knows that's what the going rate is. There's no law because he says, the going rate is a shekel.
Oh, he said that?
Yeah. And I want a dinner. And he said, fine. So I know you're overcharging me, but that's the only way I'm doing it. Fine. No, no. So we see from this, Sogia, that you can say, I was joking.
So agreements are worthless. What does that mean?
When it's known that it's way beyond the rate.
That's what agreements are.
No, everyone knows it's way beyond the rate.
There's no rate for evil.
If it's way beyond the rate of zero. But here we see that you can say you're joking. So we'll finish up in the middle of this Shaila, and everyone can think about it till next week. Is this Gemara exact proof to our case or not? And if it's not exact proof, then why? What's your opinion? It's not, you say. So why? Okay, that's one reason why maybe it's not different.
What is the type of the shata? What is the shata?
I was not serious.
He was serious.
The shata anibok.
He was serious.
I was serious in making you do the job, but I wasn't serious in paying the overpriced.
By the appraiser, he was serious. He was very serious. $10,000 is pretty serious.
So here's also 200 zuz, but he's serious.
I don't know why she wrote
the Gemara. He said, "I will pay you to pay. I will pay you to do the chalitza."
Yes.
Whereas by the wedding law, he says, "How much am I going to have to pay you? What's your price to buy me a wedding?" And he says, 5,000 shekels. It's different.
Okay. So is that worse or better?
Different.
Now I point out one difference in the Gemara, and you think about that's true.
Is this talking about
Wafa
Gemara?
Yes. The Gemara is talking about a case of somebody who has to do Yibun or Chalitza, and you're asking him, do Chalitza, I'll give you 200 zuz. Or somebody who's running away to save himself from prison, maybe a life-threatening position. Both those situations, there was a very desperate position for the person who needed the job done.
Well, they were desperate for a wedding hall also.
Yeah.
And therefore, they were willing to agree to exaggerated price because of their desperate position.
And the wedding hall is not a desperate
position. Is the wedding hall a desperate position?
The invitations are sent down.
Depends on who the machapanam are.
What's called desperate?
You clearly haven't married off any kids yet.
So, we'll discuss that next week.
Shakaya.
Square.